Dear happiness parents, friends, I hope you're fine and happy and joyful and safe and healthy wherever you are right now. Another episode of Happiness Parents is here. Today I post a piece of my personal conversation, a part of my personal session with an astrologer, Dhruv Mehta. And you may actually hear that it wasn't planned, and sometimes there are additional noises and everything. But I just thought that you might be curious about what he was saying about destiny and what he thinks about it from the side of astrology. Because I'm personally interested and excited and sometimes even anxious to understand whether we actually have free will, or whether we don't, and whether we're just following the milestones that are given to us from above. Yeah, so please don't judge the sound and the flow of our conversation, and I hope that you like it. If there is anything to share, or if you know anyone that you would like me to invite for the show, you can contact me via Happiness Parents Instagram page, which is at Happiness Patterns, or via our email info@happinesspatterns.com. When you look at astrology and when you look at your life and you saw so many charts, do you see that there is basically no chance to avoid to get out of the map that is already there, the stars? Yeah. I mean, where is the part of the free will? What can I do? What do I decide from my chart? I don't get it. Because within the last 19 years, I always felt like, okay, I'm trying to spread my wings.
One thing has to be realized. Freedom is a beautiful concept, but people are messing it up because freedom applies to who you are at the dimension of spirit, not to the dimension of body-mind. At the dimension of body-mind, just as you are subject to the laws of physics, you are also subject to the laws of karma and desire, right? So, what is your birth chart? Your birth chart is just as gravity is holding you to the earth, and if you want to escape earth, you have to come up with some huge rocket fuel that takes you beyond the gravity of Earth. In a very similar manner, karma and desire have their own gravity. And once you are born, you are subject to that gravity. And while you can escape that, but what escapes is not your body, mind, your spirit, you know. So what is spiritual growth? What is spiritual enlightenment? It is when you escape the gravity of karma and desire, but you are still subject to the laws of body, karma, and your body mind is still subject to that. So when we look at the map, this birth chart, what we are looking at is what is kind of on your way in the coming years. What are the things that your karma and desire have already decided for you? So, in that sense, your freedom is only to continue doing what you can do while it is happening. You do not have the power and freedom to create something which is not happening, you know. So, I use this million times. Like, for example, you don't have the power to bring the sunlight inside. If it is coming, you may close the windows and block it from entering, but if it is not coming, you can't do anything. So when we are talking about this prosperity or the material growth or property and all these things, so when they are coming, you can, all you have to do is just open your window and play your part and they will enter your life. But when they are not coming, any amount of, effort, they are not going to help you to bring them inside you. I almost went crazy thinking about freedom. And this is before 20 years. And to the extent that for several years, I was not able to work with astrology or esoterics or AI, like it scared me. I literally had panic attacks about this. You know, I was wondering how the hell I exist, how the hell this world exists, you know, and all the same. And then the freedom thing, like, so what? Am I at the mercy of this or that? I found my peace with that, not because I found answers, because I realized that that's how it is. And your spirit is always free, but your body mind is never free. What is predicted may not happen, not because you are free of those effects, but because the interpretation is not correct. But otherwise, yes, we do not have freedom in that sense, you know.
So the idea is that, for example, this period comes in 2.5 years. With all the things that I do, like meditation and mantras, I can just like open not only the windows, I can open the doors as well, right?
Can we? Yes, you can. Yes. Let's say if I tell someone, like someone is waiting, like in some country like India where we have problems of water, and someone is waiting, like, you know, monsoon, that when will monsoon come? Finally, we will have some water. Now I say that monsoon will come for you after 3 months. Now there are two different kinds. There could be two different kinds of people. One person, he waits for the monsoon. He uses all the water during the monsoon. And then again, he's back to square where he was. Another person, he waits for the monsoon. He uses the water that comes in the monsoon, but also makes arrangement in advance to store all the water that falls in the monsoon, so that when there is no monsoon, he still has something left. When the monsoon comes is not decided by you, but what you do while the monsoon comes is your freedom. How to get the help from astrology, that when you know the productive periods, you know that it is my time to reap maximum as much as I can in this time, and then eventually such period will stop, but you have already done your part in that. So it kind of prepares you. You are ready to take action in that time.
There is this guy, I think I was telling you about him, Michael Roach, and he gives this idea about creating karma. Like, if someone doesn't have money, then he has to kind of give what he has or invest his time in order to create karma of money. Do you think it's like a stupid idea in general at all? Does it make any sense?
Can you just expand on that idea? I didn't get exactly what he means to say. Like, so when you don't have money.
Yes. For example, if someone doesn't have money, then what he can do is that he can give either his time or, like, if he has some opportunity, he can share at least some part of his money to create karma that will grow. So the idea is that every thought and every deed that we have, it creates karma. So if we want money, then we need to create money by, I don't know, giving our time or giving like what we have to others in order. Like, if someone wants a car, then, but he doesn't have enough money, then he should help someone to buy a car, for example. And then he will incur enough karma to get the car by himself.
Agreed. In principle, it is correct. However, how do you know? Because with karma, the tricky part with karma is that there is no such guarantee of instant karma. That if you create this karma now, it does not mean, like, for example, if you want a car and if you help someone to buy a car, you might get it. Who knows in which lifetime, you know? Because if you are experiencing the effects of your karma from several lifetimes, that means that you know, those karmas were created who knows in what lifetime, and now only you are experiencing. So why do you think that the karma that you create now will give you the result instantly? You know, there is no such guarantee. However, in principle, it is right. I wouldn't use the word karma for that, because what is karma? Karma is your own action, the repercussions of your actions or the ripples of your actions, which will eventually return to you. But karma does not exist in time, in the linear time as we mean. So for karma to give you the fruits, the situation has to be the right, the situation has to be correct. That is why the birth of a person is their first karma. If you take birth into certain family, to certain parents in a certain country, that is because It is the time for the fructification of your karma. The situation and the circumstances have already ripened. And if only you are born here, you will face those things or you will meet them. So doing that may not, in my opinion, not because of karma. But yes, doing that can give you a car or money. But from my perspective, for a different reason. That, you know, I very strongly believe this thing. Somehow you can say, I know this thing. That life gives you what you have. Life does not give you what you want. So, as long as you are in the state of wanting anything, it doesn't come to you. Think of it like this. All the spiritual teachers, you know, nobody got it like, today I am meditating. Today I am 100 kilometers away from enlightenment. Tomorrow I am 99 kilometers away from enlightenment. Finally, tomorrow is the day I am going to get enlightened. It never happened to anyone in that way. The only way it happened was when, after exhausting all the resources, they all dropped it. The state of wanting dropped, and then it came to them, you know. So the same applies to the outer things also, the material things also, like car or money or this. When you give someone, in a way, what you are doing is you are going from the state of wanting to the state of having something. Like, see, when you are wanting something, it's like, God, please give me money or give me car. It's like, I'm poor. I need these to fulfill myself. But when you are helping someone, it's like, I have something which I am giving, you know. So it is when you are in the state of having something, life adds to that. Life will always add what you already have. So whatever state of mind you are, it keeps on increasing. So it would work, helping someone, giving them your time. I feel there are two things which will bring you such material, you know, things to you. One is being in the state of having it, and second is appreciation. When you appreciate something that someone has, and when you appreciate someone for having that thing, you are unconsciously also attracting those things. I'll tell you, most poor people hate rich people. They do not appreciate people who have money. On the contrary, you know, I have heard rich people talking about rich people. There is a sense of respect and, you know, kind of appreciation for what those other guys have, you know. So, normal, I would say, not just poor people, even middle class people, they despise very rich people, you know. Like, you know, instead of appreciation, there is jealousy. And jealousy is the same thing. If only you remove that thorn out, you know, jealousy is appreciation plus a sense of negative feeling toward that person. If only you remove that negative feeling, what stays there is appreciation. And that kind of, you know, activates your unconscious to kind of get more of it. So that's why any quality that you appreciate in any person, you will start having that.
A question. The person, like, is limited with money. He, according to his chart, he is very poor. Still, you believe that this work with consciousness can somehow improve the situation?
See, the chart has its limits. Nobody will go beyond the chart, right? Now, okay. You know, you have kicked the hornet's nest, so you'll have to bear with it now. See, the thing is that at any given moment, we exist in two dimensions at the same time. One is the dimension of things and what is happening around us. We can say the dimension of concrete world, and the other is the dimension of how we feel. Now, these are two very different dimensions. For example, you could have everything and you could feel bad about it. I don't know if you read about it or not. I made a post on Facebook about that. A real client, you know, it actually happened with me. A billionaire came to my consultation he was not speaking English. So the translator translated his things to me. You know, I'm very unhappy. I said, why? He said, you know, I invested about like 25 million or something in some project. And I was promised that at the end of very first year, I will get about 7 or 8 million of profit. I said, okay. So he said, you know, I'm unhappy because the profit was not even full two million euros, you know. And like, can you imagine? They promised me 7, 8 and I get less than 2. Now, exactly at that moment, I was, you know, I was living in a rented apartment, and just outside my apartment, there is a small shop. So just outside that shop, there is this garbage box, right? So I see that a bum, like, you know, this homeless guy, he was just moving around that and searching something. And I couldn't see exactly what it was, but it looked like a half-eaten burger or sandwich, something, right? And he took it out, he bit it, you know, from that burger, and he was like, as if he found $1 million there, you know? So two people, two realities, a guy who earned about 1.5 million euros and feeling sad about it, and another guy who found half-eaten burger and feeling elated about it. These are two different dimensions. What happens to you and how you feel about what happened, like how you feel inside. Unfortunately, we all have this false equation that what happens to me decides how I feel within me, you know. So you could have millions and still feel bad, and you could not have anything and still feel good. So what consciousness practices do, they don't change how much you will have. Basically, I'll tell you, Jeevan, you don't want to get millions. You don't want to get anything. You want to be in a state where you don't want anything more. That's what you want, you know. What you want is to come to the state of not wanting more. You know, the uneasiness we feel, and we want that very much because we feel that the day I will have a million, I will be relaxed. And then I will not want anything. So consciousness practices take you to that state. Now, after that, it doesn't matter if you have millions or if you don't have millions. Maybe you have thousands only. But you are in the state. So there is no, you know, no restlessness. So consciousness practices will not make you millionaire. No millionaire has become millionaire because of consciousness practices. You know, Bill Gates is never doing Lakshmi Puja. You know, Lakshmi is the goddess of you know, this prosperity.
Yeah, yeah,
he has never done that, nor Jeff Bezos or anyone else has done that. You don't become millionaires by that, but this is about, so what really matters is the second dimension, the dimension of what you're feeling. And if that is sorted out, the outer will sort out itself. That's the whole idea behind consciousness practice.